Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's Storm and Kieran bringing you the netballing moments that matter. This is Centre Pass in Focus on SENZ.
It is 8 p.m. here on SENZ. You are listening to Centre Pass in Focus. Myself, Kieran Bingham, and the wonderful Storm Purvis. We are here. We are here for another week. The elimination final is done and dusted, and it leaves us with a grand final to come. And I know all the news this week has sort of been around State of Origin Game 1, but we've got a bit of our own.
Boo.
We've got a bit of our own mate versus mate going on. I know
totally.
We parked the bias bus at the start of the year, but deep down,
I've just clicked how funny this is. This is also technically you versus me.
That's what I mean. We're mate versus mate this week.
Yeah. I was just thinking stars versus mystics.
Oh, no. It's you and I. Park the bias.
Wow.
It's exactly, there we go. There we go. 8833, State of Origin, or the ANZ Premiership Grand Final, or me versus Storm. You know, that's how we're rolling it this week. So, yeah, we're sitting on opposite sides of the studio, giving each other the side eye of quietly where we're going to go this week. But we are going to head down to both camps this week. Obviously, the Mystics, who qualified, won the minor premiership, had the week off. So we're going to go catch up with Rob Wright, coach of the Northern Mystics, alongside Tia Winikare down at the coach's corner. And then we're going to cross down to Storm's side of the ditch. No, of course not. We're going to go catch up with Stars captain Maya Wilson, who's had a thrilling regular season. Looking forward to talking to her about that and how she's managed to lift her game so much in the space of a season. So all that plus more. So 8833, if you do wish to get involved in the conversation, give us a text any time. But Storm, let's just rip right into it. Elimination final, we saw it play out. The Pulse and the Stars, I mean, just looking at the final score, looking at how the game played out, could they have ridden it any better?
It's just wild. I've actually got the full stats in front of me here, and they're identical between both sides. You know, like, yes, okay, the Pulse may have got a few more gains, but, you know, the Stars had a few less turnovers. And other than that, I'm like looking at two identical pieces of paper, their stat sheet. It was just so well fought. And I just think it was the perfect game to be an elimination final. Like, it really honestly came down to the last moment and who unfortunately just kind of played the clock better, which I was kind of disappointed to see that. I don't know if you remember towards the end of the game, maybe with a minute to go, Amelia Wormsley, Tiana Matildo of the Pulse, just kind of mucked around with the ball a little bit. I don't know whether they were thinking they were being smart by trying to run down the clock and, you know, stop the Stars from having a shot at goal and maybe sending it into overtime, but it just didn't quite work out for them. And the Stars ended up with their centre pass all tie, 30 seconds to go. And when you've got the likes of Gina Crampton there running the cutter, she's experienced, she knows what she's doing, and they just timed it perfectly. And you know, how great Amorangi Malisala, the kind of hero of the Stars all season, gets to slot the winning goal on full time. It was it was wild. It could have gone either way. Like, at no point in the match did I think, I feel like the Stars are going to win this, or I feel like the Pulse are going to win this. Did anyone know? No one knew until
definitely
that final
not
buzzer.
No, you can, like, and we always say that the score isn't everything, right? And if we break it down by quarter, and it's proved right here that Pulse won 3 out of 4 quarters, and it was the Stars who had a dominant third, winning that 16-8, which was it's very hard to come back from 8 goals coming out at half time, even when you do have the lead. Just on Amelia Wormsley there, we can look at the stats. She's shot 91% as well, so a statistically great weekend from her, 41 from 45. But for me, there was a little bit sense of hesitancy in her shot, and it came from a few double pumps that we've seen. Can you put that down to the Stars' defensive end that we've seen rise, or do you put it down to the occasion, your first elimination final? You've been starting all year, you've been the talk of the town, and we end up here.
I kind of want to put it, and this is no disrespect to either parties that we're discussing here, but I feel like watching in the moment, it felt like it came down to the fact she was 19,
yep,
sorry, and that was such a huge moment for not only her, but, you know, I mean, her family, the whole year that the Pulse have had. Vets last game, so much riding on it. I think the Pulse went in as favourites for the match as well. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we've definitely seen her not crumble as such, but have these moments where you remind yourself, you're like, oh, yeah, she's just a teenager. She's a real baby in this league. And in most of those moments, she stood up and absolutely owned it. But in this situation, I'd say if it was like Kalera Nawaitautau on her, who's done a really good job on her throughout the season and being sort of like a real physical body and muscling up and getting into her head, I don't think Ellie Timu and Holly Fowler play that way. They're kind of more about trying to get the ball, working in tandem with each other to confuse space and come up with gains, as opposed to trying to rattle a shooting circle. So that would be my take on it. I mean, that's by no means saying the Stars didn't do a good job on defence, because we know that they did. That combination was fantastic. But in terms of just that hesitation and Amelia's shot, totally saw it as well. And I think it just, yeah, I mean, she's just a baby. But 91%. And you know, she led the game.
She led the game in goals scored. I thought I must clarify that just to paint the picture, because you can't deny that she still put on an amazing performance, my apologies, shooting 41 from 45. But just looking at the Stars as well there, I know you mentioned Kalera Nawaitautau. We didn't quite see her get onto the court. In fact, we didn't see any of the Stars bench come off. This was, I believe, the first game where Kitty Wills didn't make any changes. Sort of watching the game, was there ever a point where you thought they needed an injection? I know that, said before, you can look at the score and see that they were down in the quarters, but like you said at the start of the show, you never really felt like the Stars were out of it.
Yeah, I don't think so, to be honest, because I feel like the change normally comes when they start Nawaitautau in at goal keep, and then you can kind of either bring Holly Fowler in at wing defence or goal defence and move that defensive end around. But obviously she started on the bench and there was no need to bring her on for impact in that defensive end, because, like I said, Timu and Fowler were doing such a good job. And the other one has been Jamie Hume coming on for Mali Sala if her shot's been a bit off. But while, you know, Amorangi shot at 81%, fine, not great numbers, but fine. I'd never felt like there was a moment where, yes, we need to bring the experienced Jamie on here. I just felt like Amor was doing a really great job of rolling that circle, allowing Gina and Maya to have their connection. And then in those big moments towards the end of the game, when Jury and Manua were teaming up on Maya, really shutting her out of the game, Amor stepped up. So in the past, like I think all teams this year, I think you have to admit, they've used the bench extensively, more than we've seen really in any other season. And Kitty Wills is, you know, done exactly that this season. So it was really surprising, I guess, if you looked at it isolated, to not see any of the bench being used. But watching the game, I never felt like a change needed to be made.
No, it's really exciting. Just going back to Amorangi Malasala, watching her this year, watching her with this confidence and the swagger that she's portrayed out there on the court. She's as cold as ice, you know, we're out there. And Kitty Wills actually in the post-match said that she missed her first shot of the game and she came off and said, I'm sorry. And that was after shooting 11 or so in a row. So she's very hard on herself, but she's getting the results. My sort of question here is, do you think that there's a lot less pressure on Amorangi Malasala? This is a World Cup year. We've seen fluctuations between shooters around the league. Where do you think that Amor's confidence actually comes from?
I think maybe just more game time, to be honest, and knowing that she's nailed down that starting spot. This has been the first season that she's really been used consistently for the Stars. And I think the confidence, and I think Kitty Wills even talked about this actually the other night, really we all saw it after that double extra time Mystics game where she nailed a couple of long bombs or buzzer beaters. And I've known Amor for a while now. I've, you know, been in and around that Stars environment, obviously, and she's definitely one of those players, kind of like a Brooke Lever, who I know does a lot of sense work, will clap themselves after a great shot and really hype themselves up, and they really kind of get themselves up by being that kind of person, that player on court. And that's not something you see very often in New Zealand netball, which is a shame. And I just feel like Amor has had so many opportunities to just step up and do that, and she's nailed a lot of those opportunities that she's just kind of riding this confident momentum wave at the moment.
It's a real winning mentality, isn't
it? Totally.
And that's, I think, why we don't see it a lot more here, is that we sort of hold ourselves back in terms of being humble or whatnot and not wanting to show out. But it's not a bad thing at all.
And if you know it's helping you,
if it's getting you these results,
exactly,
then by all means, you know, hype yourself up. It's getting the job done.
Brookie Lever, we used to laugh at her because she'd do the big, yeah,
clap.
She still does it.
Oh, it's
I don't know
so
if you've
good.
Seen. Go to at SENZ underscore radio on Instagram and you can see Brooke's live reaction to the finish of the Polks and Stars. She's so doing good. A full-on split at one point. She just couldn't believe it. So she's still carrying on that tradition. Yeah. So it's just built into them. So I want to ask you a player, obviously you being a former player for the Stars especially, how much did you guys sort of know about stats? Because I know that you enjoy your stats now. We do have a good stat chat here on the show. But were you guys sort of exposed to in-depth numbers and stuff going into games? Because there's a real interesting one that I just want to point out to you here. This is all thanks to the Toddmaster at Sky, Todd Miller. Going into the game at Te Rauparaha Arena, the Pulse had only won one of their past seven at home. Is that something that...
At that particular arena?
Yeah, just at... Yeah, in Porirua.
Yeah.
One out of the seven. Is that something that you would have had attention to? I'm just wondering if that's an extra layer of stress so it's stayed away from, or how in-depth was it in terms of stats?
Look, I think that that particular fact might have been brought up. I know the Stars kind of had demons from TSB Arena last year, the grand final, and I remember them saying in some sort of lead-up media session that they were happy that this elimination final wasn't there and that it wasn't Porirua.
Kitty told us that last week.
Was it? Yes, yeah, of course you're right.
Yeah.
Told us that. And you've got to think, like, yeah, okay, they'll know. They'll know the winning record. They know where they perform well. Because... Yes, we get to see all these stats as well as players, but there's so much out there. And so it's about what you want to kind of pull out and what you want to look at, or what the coach wants to pull out and look at. But I have no doubt, because we heard it from Kitty herself, that the whole venue thing was talked about, then absolutely I'm sure that's something that they would have pulled out before. But stats, as I kind of got older, and obviously they evolved, as years went on, I felt like we were getting more and more information in terms of statistics, specifically on court. But some of those kind of historical facts are really interesting, and why not use them?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess we'll sort of never really know if that caused them the game. It obviously probably wouldn't. It's a bit of a myth there.
Well, but, I don't know. Like watching the game, I was like, man, this could be a Stars home game with how loud the Stars supporters are, and they were lucky enough, the Stars bench, to have their supporters right behind them. Whereas I think, again, Kitty Will said post-match that at the final last year in TSB Arena, they were way up in the nosebleeds and they couldn't hear them, they had no idea. But for this particular match, they had that whole section of the stand behind their bench was just filled with Stars fans, and so that would have made a huge difference.
Yeah, coming through on the commentary, yeah, we had to keep managing that and pulling it down because, you know, it was even off a centre pass receive, you know, the ground would cheer up. So it looked like an electric environment to be in. Gassiter wasn't there, but we will... be in Hamilton this weekend for the grand final, and one man who will also be there alongside us is Rob Wright with the Northern Mystics, and we're going to catch up with him after a short break here on SENZ. We're going to go down to the Coach's Corner thanks to our good friends at Bedpost right after this.
Inside the locker room, it's time to head to the Coaching Corner.
You never let a dyslexic boy do the numbers anyway. We're here with our good friends at Bedpost, helping Kiwis get a good night's sleep since 1991. One man who's must have had a good sleep over the last week is a good friend of the show. He's a coach of the Northern Mystics, Rob Wright. Rob, welcome to the show, my good friend. How are you?
Oh, very well, my dyslexic friend.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. You know me as well. When I spent time there, you never give me the stat sheet, you know, because I'll come up with the wrong formulas. Anyway, mate, the week off. Talk to me. What went on during the week?
Oh, look, that week was really handy for us. After the two games last week, we were absolutely smoked. So very, very tired, really... very flat for the first few days after that. So it was a real blessing to not be able to have to play last week. We could just focus on getting the bodies right, getting the minds right, and getting ready for this week. So, bit of luck there. So we'll take it every day of the week.
Hey, Rob, how do you kind of balance? I know in the past, particularly with netball, because it's such a quick game and momentum's such an important thing, I just remember back in the day if you had a bye week, sometimes teams would come out of a bye week and not play very well. How did you balance kind of wanting to keep momentum within the side? But I guess, as you said, take the rest week while you could. But what did you do over the weekend when you would have normally had a game day, for example, with the Mystics to kind of keep, I don't know, that momentum kind of gliding into the finals this weekend?
Yeah, it's a really good question, isn't it? Like, because I always feel like, you know, you won a couple of games, you want to continue that because, yeah, momentum's a big thing. So what we tried to do is last Friday we had an in-house match and we tacked some netball onto that. We got a couple of very talented players to come in for that just to make up our 14, and then we backed it on with like a half an hour of red hot training. So it was a full on Friday just to try and mimic what a real match would be, but then it gave us the opportunity to give the girls the weekend off because you know what it's like, you it's just been rolling on and you just don't get very many opportunities so just to have a couple of days away and refresh. So we tried to really, we back-ended last week. Normally we would front-end the week and back off as the week went on. But last week, because of no game, we reversed it to allow us to really put some heat on them so they felt like, well, yeah, we've just played. At the end of last week. So that's how we went about it, and hopefully that gives us that feeling of that continued momentum.
Now, Rob, just rolling on to this week, it sounds like you're in the car at the moment. Have you just come from training?
Oh, I apologise. I am in the car.
No, it's a good thing.
We did have training tonight, and then I actually thought I'd missed the meeting. So I was really pleased when he rang me, and I apologised and going, I'm really sorry, I missed it earlier. We got caught in the meeting, and he said, no, well, this is the time we're meeting. So, I'm on my way home, but I always like to stop off at the shops and grab a couple of Cokes because, you know, you can never have too many.
No, and I do believe I owe you one from a little pre-match interview we did during round 12, so I will make sure to deliver you that.
Sure do.
Yes, I will. I'll deliver you that on Sunday.
No,
don't trust me. I know
I
you won't. Hey, Rob, the reason I was asking there, I know in the Mystics environment you've got a great leadership group, and it's sad as me to say Solo Fitzpatrick's last year, but what's the vibe at training tonight? I know we've got a good core there. What's sort of going on?
Oh, look, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Like, she's an amazing, amazing person, amazing leader, and, just so much respect. But, you know, in true Sulu form, like, it's not about Sulu. This week's about making sure our team's ready to play the Stars because, you know, they, well and truly deserve their victory on the weekend, and, yeah, we've got to make sure that we're ready for them. So we've gone about as much as possible because, you know, grand final week, you get all the media in, et cetera. They're all in today. So it was a busy old day, but we're trying to make sure as much as possible we just continue doing the work that's got us where we've got to. And, you know, we will certainly find the time after the match to make sure that we give the due respect and send-off that Sula deserves. But, you know, she wouldn't want any fuss. It's not her nature. And we also want to make sure she's ready to play. The last thing she wants to be doing is being emotional, thinking about, oh, I'm on my last game in a grand final when, you know, really it becomes team first. We're after the win, just like Stars, and then we'll celebrate her wonderful career.
Yeah, she's the ultimate professional. I'm sure she'll be ready for the game, no matter the emotional circumstance there, Rob. Hey, you were spotted alongside your head coach, Tia Winikere, at Porirua over the weekend at the elimination final. What did you make of the game watching it live, and what have you scrapped down in your notebook for the Stars?
Yeah, I'm hoping I didn't smile because it's not my way to smile. I don't think I did, so... Look, it's always good to see it live, because sometimes I think what you see on the on telly, you don't get to see a lot of the, you know, that full picture stuff or the off the ball stuff. So I think it's really valuable to be able to have a look live, and especially in an elimination final, because they've got to throw everything basically at it, and so you get to see how they're playing. So look, I thought on that day, you know, I think personally, I thought the Pulse were a little off, and Stars came out, especially in that third quarter, and really shocked them, I thought, because at halftime I thought, yeah, I feel like Pulse is in control of the game, but it turned on its head, and I thought from that moment on, I thought Stars were going to win it. They came out, they were strong, they competed well, and like always, they're really hard to get the ball off. And they controlled that really well and, deservedly got the result.
What is it about the third quarter being the championship quarter? I know it gets said so much and I remember it as a player and the importance of it all, but this has just been another example. Yes, the Stars won that third quarter, 16-8. Like, as a coach, what is behind that sort of, saying the third quarter is the championship quarter?
Yeah, I'd like to know statistically whether that's actually how true that is. Because, it always gets said. But I was thinking, okay, well, the statistics back that up. But, certainly did on the weekend, eh? And I guess it really shows how hard momentum is to stop. But they came out and, Pulse just couldn't. They looked a bit shocked by it, I thought. And to their credit, Stars just were able to keep at it, and didn't matter what they what Pulse did, like Stars just kept control of that quarter magnificently. So it would have been fascinating to hear what their halftime talk was, because I thought the second quarter really, obviously Pulse won both quarters by two, but they looked like they had. It looked like they had the momentum going into the break, and yet when it came out, like, you would have thought, Stars have just turned it on. And so full credit to them. They did a very good job in that third quarter. We often talk about them being an avalanche quarter. Often you see in netball games, certainly at international level, games are generally won on an avalanche quarter. So an avalanche quarter, as it sounds, is like, where one team has absolutely just smoked the other team. So a 16-8, that's an avalanche quarter, well and truly. And, you only need one of them, because I am right in saying I think Pulse won the other three quarters, but lost the game. So the other three quarters doesn't matter. It's who wins the game. And, they looked up for the... Stars look up for the fight, and look, every game we've played them this year, they've been really tight. Even all our pre-season matches against them, I think we played them three times in practice matches, and I reckon there was one goal in every one of them. So it just shows how close and tight the two teams are. So I would expect another one of those. I can't see it being anything else but a really hard, close-fought match, which is exactly what you want for a grand final.
Bring it on.
Rob, you mentioned that there, and keeping on the form of stats, the last four games between you two have been alternated, and you just mentioned there you played them three times pre-season, so I know it's repetitive is not the right word, but playing a team so many times, how do you manage to get better and better? Because it would come a time where you sort of have both figured each other out, so how do you sort of stay ahead of one another?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I guess the first thing, and this is the cool thing about it, is like the two teams play very differently. So our styles are very different. So our styles of attack are very different. Our styles of defence are very different to each other. And so to me, you get to this part of the year and it's about which team can really execute under extreme pressure. Because that's what it's going to be on the weekend. Like, you get one shot at this, and who can... deal with that pressure? Who can focus and keep delivering when they're under the pump? And to me, it comes down to, okay, which team's going to be really consistent on the day? And, you know, you'll probably find that both teams are really consistent on the day. And so then it'll just be a matter of those margins, like the difference often between, you know, being winning and losing could come down to, you know, one or two possession losses. And I think that's going to be the case. So it's going to be about which team can control their game and absolutely nail their game when the heat's really on and there's no bigger pressure than a grand final. So pretty cool though, isn't it?
It's very cool. And, yeah, I guess we've talked about it with the elimination final, Rob, but, very little mistakes are being made in these critical moments, and I have a feeling the same thing's going to happen, as you say, on Sunday. Who in your team do you really need to step up? I mean, we've talked a lot about – just dropped my phone, sorry. We've talked a lot about Phil Davoui over the past couple of weeks. Do you kind of feel like if she has a good game, you guys have got this in the bag?
I certainly don't think we've got it in the bag. I never discount anyone, and if we're off our game from everyone, you know, the stars are well and truly good enough to beat us. So I never take anyone lightly. I think Filda's, you know, as the season's gone, we've seen some really outstanding performances from her. Certainly, I thought her work against tactics, especially on her court work, was really good. And that was backed up after a very strong game against Stars. So, look, I think she's one of those players. Like, you know, let's face it, everyone talks about the GG Petter connection. Pretty cool connection. So, you know, people always talk about trying to disrupt that. And, you know, let's face it, like, it's not easy to do. But they're two of our front line. But the way we play, we're not going to rely on just two people. So basically, we need our entire front line to make sure that they're executing what they need to do. And you know, we're not fancy. We don't try and do fancy stuff. I'm the simplest person in the world. So to me, it's just about making sure that. Whatever you do to an exceptional level. And if we do that, then the game's going to be red hot both ways. So let's face it, both teams have extraordinarily good attacking lines. They score a lot of goals. They're incredibly accurate. They score big volumes. So, yeah, that's cool. So to me, what's going to probably be really interesting is which defensive line can get. You're not going to stop either line. What you're going to try and do is minimise the damage that the opposition can do. So my thinking is whichever defensive line does that better probably wins the match.
Well, Rob, if it's anything like the Northern Challenges we've seen over the last few years, we're going to be in for a stunner. We both know that. And one thing you know as well is that I will be there with a bottle of Coke, no sugar for you, mate. Don't you worry about that. I haven't forgotten at all. Maybe it might be two because you've done this interview as well. But, Rob, it's always a pleasure catching up with you, mate. We'll see you on Sunday. We're looking forward to it.
Sure will. No worries. See you there. Make sure it's a big bottle.
Yeah, we'll do. There we go. Thanks, I'll tell you Rob. What. I'll combine two little ones, make it one big one, Rob. All for you, mate. Hey, that's all thanks to Zepa Bedpost. Upgrade your sleep with Bedpost to recharge your mind and body. Right, it is 32 minutes past 8 here on SENZ. We're going to take a little break and we're going to come back and look a little bit more in-depth into the grand final next weekend. Yes, you are listening to Centre Pass in Focus here on ECNZ, and Storm, I can't believe we've made it. We've made it to the grand final, and mate versus mate for us, the Northern Mystics against the Northern Stars. It's an all-Auckland final and an extra Northern Challenge. I think that's for that double extra time thriller that we've had. They've rewarded us.
So kind.
With
the grand
gods,
final. Yes.
Yes, the stage is set to meet in a neutral venue, Globox Arena in Hamilton, usually the home of the Magic. And Sunday, the 4th of June, commentary will be here on ECNZ. Mark Stafford and Brookie Lever. But Storm, I guess my first question for you is, I know we can say yes off the cut, but deep down, honestly, did you expect the Stars to be in the grand final with this Mystics team? If I asked you at halfway point of the season.
Oh. I don't know.
They've had a very wavy season.
Pick. Remember in the middle of the season, every week the table was changing so much. I think the Mystics have kind of consistently been in that top spot or kind of there or second.
Yeah.
But for around sort of week five, week six, week seven, we had a different second place between the Tactics Pulse and the Stars. Even the Magic got up there at one stage. So it was just so hard to tell. And I don't know if you remember as well, in the middle of the season, the Stars kind of had that little dip where they lost a few in a row.
Yes.
I think the first loss to the Pulse actually kind of kick-started three, maybe even four losses in a row. And then they came out of that, which was great. And now they've been kind of, you know, consistently performing in terms of maybe not getting all the wins, but just looking really good out there. So now, yep, totally not surprised. On paper, yep, pretty good. Not too surprised. But it could have been the Pulse. It could have been the Tactics just as easily.
Yeah, no, that's right. It has been a very tight league right across the season. It took us to what? Till round 10 to sort of have that 95% idea of what the elimination final was going to be.
Gosh,
so we got it done in the end, and we did see the Stars celebrate in round 12 against the Mystics, getting that bonus point, getting themselves into the elimination final, which they beat the Pulse in that thrilling encounter last Sunday. But going ahead, I think we can look at this as the Mystics finished top of the table, were minor premiers, playing some amazing netball. I think we can say the Mystics are favourites going into this game.
Mm.
What do you think the Stars need to bring to this grand final? It's the third grand final. Unfortunately, the two previous have been losses. So what are the Stars going to have to bring if they want to get that first ANZ Premiership title?
Yeah, probably just a little bit of not confidence as such. I think they know and need to own the fact that they're coming in as underdogs, but not to be sort of overawed by it all and just get out there and play it like it's been any other game for them, particularly in these last few rounds. And saying that, though, these last few rounds, they've obviously had a lot on the line because they've been trying to make sure they nail that spot for the elimination final. So maybe that kind of pressure, big game pressure, is really good for them. And we've already talked about it on the show already, how much that pressure has helped someone like Amorangi Malisala. So I think, yeah, starting really well is going to be important. I think Maya Wilson getting her eye in early and getting, you know, the feeds from Gina into Maya, the do some beautiful baseline rolls and dodges and just get that combination going early. If Maya can slot a few early goals, then that's going to be great. I think defensively it's going to take them a while to get any ball. We know that anytime a team plays the Mystics, they're not getting intercepts really in the first quarter.
No.
So understanding that you're going to have to grind it out and just keep working.
Keeping calm.
Yeah, yeah, right, and the ball will come. And that's going to put more pressure on the attacking end because they know they're going to have to score their first however many centre passes, just to really ease into it and keep it close. So they'll know all that, and it's easier said than done, and I have a feeling this Mystics defensive end are going to come out firing for reasons we talked about before with Rob Wright, Sulu Fitzpatrick's last game, Phoenix Kartika, she's going to want to win this one.
Yeah.
So, you know, she wasn't there. I think she was having her baby Palmer the last time
she was.
The Mystics won a championship.
Yes.
So she's got that extra motivation to do it as well. So it's going to be, I mean, as Rob said, he kept saying, didn't he? He was really selling it. It's going to be one hell of a final.
Yeah, no, Rob is one of the most enthusiastic blokes
hype
that we
man.
Know. And he is just, his mind is just netball 24/7. So he would have gone over almost every possibility before it's happened, played the match even before it started. But I mentioned it before that we didn't see Kalera come off the bench for the Stars. And I believe we did see her start in the last Northern Challenge and during round 12. Do you think that we'll see a bit more use of the bench and more specifically Kalera to sort of combat the Grace Wecky factor, which is a big one?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see her start, which will be a hard call for Kitty Wills to make because, like we said, Fowler and Temu played so well, that combination in the elimination final. But you've got to be smart about who the matchups are and who matches up against who. And I think Kalera just provides that kind of bigger body and bigger presence in the circle from the get-go, just to help minimise the really easy look-ins from Petta and Taylor Earl. Early in the game, they don't want to have their eye in and see open you know, clear space into Grayson Wiki from the get-go, because that's just going to set the tone. So if you get Kalera in the early standing in between the ball and Grayson Wiki and just being a little bit of a presence in there, then that's going to do the initial work. And if you need to, bring Holly on into Goldie, switch Ellie back, let them get the movement going and start having an attack at some balls. That's how I'd play it, but I mean, like we've kind of talked about, I would be a terrible coach, don't want to do it. And it depends on what happens in the game. Kalera might have a blinder and might just warm herself into it anyway and get her hands on plenty of ball herself. But I would expect the bench to be more tactically used in this final.
Yeah, well, nah, just quickly before we scoot off and chat with the Stars captain, Maya Wilson, is there a key matchup for people at home that you really want them to keep an eye on this weekend?
Yeah, I think Rob Wright hit the nail on the head talking about defensively, it's going to be really tough to get ball. And while he may have been talking about inside the circle, for me, it's the Simone Nathan, if she gets the start at wing defence, up against Peta Toyava. Because I think the last couple of games, she's done a really good job of just being nuggety and annoying enough for Peta just to kind of get that initial hand over the ball, get in her sight, and kind of just annoy her and stop her from going where she wants to go. Simone's really good at that. So I don't know, if Peta gets her iron early, if she gets away from Nathan early, then it's game over. If Simone's in there from the get-go, then it's going to be a good match.
Well, oh, jeepers, we could talk it up all night, but we're just going to have to wait and see what unfolds on Sunday at the grand final. And yes, coverage will be on SENZ starting from 3:30. Mark Stafford, Brooke Lever, live from Globox Arena, Hamilton. And now we touched on the Mystics camp with Rob Wright, but after this short little break, we're going to go down to the Stars camp and catch up with Captain Maya Wilson. 12 away from 9 here on SENZ Centre Pass in Focus. Myself, Kieran Bingham, and the wonderful Storm Purvis. And we're going down to the Stars camp, and we are talking Stars thanks to our good friends at Vertical Logistics, your freight and logistics specialists. And we had to go right to the top dog this week. We had to go right to the chief. We had to go to the captain, Maya Wilson. Maya, kia ora, welcome to the show.
Oh, kia ora, my faves. Thanks for having me on tonight. Stormy P, I feel privileged.
Oh, girl, I think I'm coming to interview you tomorrow at Stars Training as well, so you're going to be sick of me
shortly.
Right,
we'll get it all out now so we can make this show the primo.
Yes, okay. Mize, straight in there, how are you feeling after Sunday night? What a match. I mean, had it gone either way, I feel like it still just would have been this incredible match that you kind of couldn't be too upset with, because it was just amazing. How did it feel out there playing in it?
Yeah, I'm definitely stoked that we came out of it on the right side of the scoreline. Last time we actually played there, Stormy, you and I had lost the final. So I'm really stoked we actually were able to come out of that. I feel like elimination finals might just be a Stars thing at the moment. So very happy. On to the next one. All Auckland final. Pretty mean.
Yeah, this is your third elimination final win. But I hate to bring up how the grand finals have gone. Obviously not so well. How are you planning on changing that script this weekend?
PTSD. That's all I have to say about last year. But this year coming, there definitely is, like, just feel like we have like built a lot, in particular in the last 12 months. I think last year we got a bit of a shock in terms of the physicality and probably the mental prep side of things, but learned a lot over the last 12 months, and I feel like there's no stone left unturned. Whatever happens, happens, but I feel like we're in the best, most prepared that we've been to give it a really good crack.
So, Mike, is it sort of a mindset thing going into this grand final? Because you can really feel it as well while you're out there on court. This is a different Stars team to what we've seen in previous years. So what is it really that has changed?
Yeah, I definitely think it's the mental prep side of things. We probably came out of the last grand final last year and just felt like a bit shook. So we wanted to make sure that the shock factor wasn't going to hit us. And that was something that we actually addressed going into the elimination final on Sunday. So I feel like we've had a lot of work with our psychologists and making sure that everyone knows the strategies as a team. I thought we were in a really good spot last year. as a culture, but in terms of performance, and then going into this side this year, I feel like we've set things up a bit, and particularly in the last couple of weeks. We've been on do or die for a while, so really happy that people are performing in high-pressure situations.
Yeah, we talked about it just on air before, Maya, without you, but the last few weeks, the Stars have been playing with this kind of pressure that they are do or die games, or you know you have to perform to survive. That pressure obviously works for you guys. Are you hoping to kind of ride that sort of underdog, this is a pressure game for us this weekend as well?
Yeah, we've always been the underdog, to be fair. I feel like no one really likes us, but it sort of is what it is. And I feel like we've addressed everything. We know that, yeah, we wanted to take things into our own hands. We didn't necessarily want it to be depending on other people's our score lines or what their results were, and we weren't necessarily able to fully do that prior to the elimination final, but I guess that bonus point put us into a good stead. So yeah, it's in particular now we've got ourselves to the final, which every team wants to be in, but making sure that we take that one step further, and it's not going to be an easy game.
Some people might not realise as well, I mean, last year I think the elimination final was on a Wednesday night and you had to play the grand final on Sunday. Mm. This year you've got an entire week. So are you guys, you know, really reveling in that, and are you making the most of the full week of training?
Yeah, it's awesome, eh? The last two times I've been in a final year, like you said, it's been a couple of days lead up in between the two games. So I think in the past I've only been able to get one training in, but to have a full training week, make sure people are recovering and doing everything that we need to tick boxes, I feel like it's probably the best situation we've ever been in. So really looking forward to it.
And just quickly, Myers, I have to ask this. I know you've probably been asked it a lot this season. It's been talked about a lot, but, you know, you're shooting at 94% for the season. So you're top dog, you know, you're above Grace, you're above Aaliyah, above Amelia Walmsley. Like 94%, that's an insane figure. What do you put it down to? What can you put it down to?
It has nothing to do with netball, eh? What a crack-up thing. Like, it's feeling mean in my own self and just really enjoying where I'm at off-court at the moment, and for some reason it's bloody translating on-court. So I need to try and bottle this secret recipe up and be able to replicate it year in, year out. But I think not only that, but in terms of where my leadership is, I'm feeling really secure and have learned a lot over the last couple of years of being captain. So I feel like being able to let go of the reins a little bit more and feel a lot more comfortable in growing other leaders within our squad is really showing.
And just quickly, lastly, what does Maya Wilson like to do off the netball court? You talk about the changes off court. Do you have any hobbies or let us into the life? What do you get up to off court?
I could answer this.
Yeah. Well, Stormy P can answer a lot of things for me, but you've actually just interrupted me watching a bit of Selling Sunset at the moment. So a lot of Netflix and chill. A lot of good food, good drinks, spending time with some family. And if I don't have to leave my bed, I won't. So looking forward to having some time off next week.
Yeah, love it. I'll tell you what, I've spent a lot of late nights on HGTV, on Skywatch, and a couple of those house sale shows.
Wow.
They're very good, Maya. So if you see any new good ones, don't hesitate to send them through to me, Maya.
Well, if you've got like $12 million to chuck my way, maybe we can go and buy a house on one of these shows, eh?
Let's do it. We'll do that, and then we'll start our own show as well, eh? Deal?
Yeah, deal. Sounds good. Would be entertaining, I reckon.
Let's do it.
You might have to retire from netball. I'm not sure that's going to get you there. Sorry, doll.
We'll make it work. We'll make it work. Anyway, Maya, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We wish you all the best for the weekend. We'll both be there, so we'll see you in attendance, and hopefully it's after you lift that trophy.
Go the Stars!
Up the Stars, short team.
Thank you very much, Maya Wilson, the captain of the Northern Stars. Oh, hissing for that final. And every time we do talk Stars, it is thanks to our good friends at Vertical Logistics, proud partners of the Northern Stars and leading the way in personalising your freight services. Stormy P, another week done and dusted. Next week, the grand final show, which means we'll be doing our little awards night giveaways and reacting to, obviously, mate versus mate. Either I'm going to come in tears or I'm going to bring you some tissue. So we'll see how we go. But
let's hope it's a great game and we're both happy.
It will.
You know?
It will be. You know
whatever
we are.
Happens.
You know we are. Anyway, that's us for another week. Thank you very much. We'll catch you all on the next one.